And now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords. And Walter joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Walter.
Morning, Lena. It's lovely to see you again.
Is it really? It's brutally early in the morning. You didn't look too happy.
It's okay. I mean, it's a reason to get up. So
we appreciate the positivity. Thank you for filling in for Adam. Let's start with our keyword news portion of the day. We're going to try to clarify some of the major headlines. And this is our first pick of the day.
DSR regulation.
So South Korean Deputy Prime Minister Choo Kyung-ho addressed some South Korean economic issues raised by foreign media. Can you elaborate on this front?
Sure thing. So in a meeting with the foreign press held at the Seoul Press Center, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Strategy and Finance Choo Kyung-ho stressed that the government will maintain the DSR regulation consistently to prevent excessive housing loans and credit loans from occurring. Now, when asked if the pace of real estate deregulation was moving at a high speed, the Deputy Prime Minister's response was that the pace of real estate deregulation in the short term has been quite rapid and that the government will judge the pace of the deregulation or the need for further deregulation, depending on whether the measures are sufficient or even insufficient. Now, Choo went on to explain that there needs to be changes in the market to be more open and competitive as the foreign exchange transactions have expanded and advanced in quality as well as quantity, and adding, quote, "We are aware that this advancement has been somewhat delayed compared to the size of and status of the Korean economy and finance internationally. And as the size of the foreign exchange market grows and the number of participants increases, market volatility can decrease itself. Now, the government is expected next month to announce their plans to advance the foreign market. The job market was also a topic raised, Choo expressing his willingness to correct it, saying we will correct illegal and unfair irregularities, such as things like nepotism, and some unions among construction companies exert some influence on business assignments. Now, Choo was reluctant to speak in depth about when asked about the U.S. semiconductor export regulations to China, telling foreign press that it isn't the appropriate time to talk about the situation and the government will continue dialogue and policies that are in South Korea's national interest while observing the positions of other major countries' stances.
I mean, it is a delicate balance we try to strike between South Korea and the U.S. Of course, the Yoon administration has taken a stark contrast to the previous administration. We are aligned more with U.S. policies. However, doesn't mean we can keep China in the corner. So there you go. That it certainly reflects the delicacies of the situation. Right. We'll leave it there for now, won't we? Let's move on to our second keyword of the day.
Increased military exercises.
So in regard to countermeasures, countries, it seems, involved in the recent sit-down will take after provocations coming from North Korea and China. Can you give us more information on what was discussed at this recent meeting?
Right. So talks between the U.S. and Japan's diplomatic and defense ministers, which were held for the first time actually since the inauguration of the Joe Biden administration, were aimed at preparing countermeasures against the security in the Asia-Pacific region, which has become hostile due to China's offensive. So South Korea also is working together with the two countries to also deal with the constant nuclear provocations coming from North Korea. And a joint statement released by the U.S. and Japanese officials said the cooperation between the U.S., Japan, and South Korea is essential to cope with North Korea's grave threats and promote security, peace, and prosperity in the surrounding it. Now, a statement made on the importance of expanding opportunities such as multinational military exercises carried out by the three countries was also stressed. Now, some exercises include activation of ballistic missile defense, anti-submarine warfare, maritime security, humanitarian aid, and disaster relief. Now, when commenting on the current situation China is imposing on Taiwan, the U.S. and Japan officials said they would stand up to anything that would unilaterally turn the current situation into force anywhere in the world. So the U.S. will also deploy mobile forces to Japan to strengthen its military presence in the Indo-Pacific region. New units deployed will be equipped with advanced intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance and anti-ship attacks, and transport capabilities to strengthen deterrence against current and future threats.
So it seems the tension on the peninsula is not to be alleviated, but it seems that trilateral talks has always reflected so sort of the same end goal, despite our differences. That seems U.S., Japan, South Korea, more one-upping extended deterrence. That seems to be the focus.
Yes.
All right, let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Decreasing inflationary pressure.
So moving back to some financial news, what do you have for us this morning? It seems that concerns still remain, although inflation has fallen for the sixth straight month based on the Fed's recent numbers.
Yeah, that's correct. So on the 12th, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, and the Consumer Price Index CPI in December increased 6.5% from the same month as last year. Now, this would make it the sixth consecutive month of decline in CPI to the previous year. Now, the 6.5 increase is actually the lowest in 14 months since back in October 2021. Mm. Now, the CPI growth, which sharply rose at 9.1% in June 2022, slowed to 7.7% in October and fell to a mid-range 6% range in December. The CPI in December also fell 0.1% compared to the previous month. Now, it is the first time that the CPI dropped compared to previous months since May of 2020. Now, this was not too long after the outbreak of COVID-19, or at least the massive spread within many countries, and was due to the drop in energy prices and the slowdown in food price growth. Now, in domestic finance, the Bank of Korea will hold its first Monetary Policy Committee meeting later this morning to determine the benchmark interest rate. The Bank of Korea will decide whether to freeze the key interest rate from the current 3.25% per annum or raise it by 0.25% points. Mm. Now, if the benchmarking interest rate is to be increased by 3.5% or 3.25%, it will be the first seven consecutive increases since April 2022. Mm. Now, inflationary pressure is very high, still very high, and many predicting that the benchmark interest could be raised considering the defense of the exchange rate amid the U.S. tightening stance.
All right, with that, we move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Nuclear power plant increase.
All right, so where many countries are moving away from nuclear energy, South Korea is increasing their plans. It is another about-face in comparison to the previous administration's stance. Can you please explain?
Yeah, so by the year 2030, the percentage of nuclear power and renewable energy among the country's power sources is expected to be 30% to 20% respectively. But this is a large increase in the nuclear power plants and sadly a steep drop in the renewable energy when comparing it to the 2030 National Greenhouse Reduction Goal Plan, which the Moon Jae-in government confirmed back in October 2021. Now, the Yoon Suk-yeol government, on the other hand, has tried to normalize the nuclear power plant industry as its national task, which is interpreted as an intention to increase the amount of plants, the nuclear plants, in the short term, but control the pace of expanding renewable energy. Now, according to the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Energy, which disclosed a plan for electricity supply and demand, nuclear power will be 201.7 terawatt hour in 2030, accounting for 32.4% of the total power generation. Now, compared to the 2030 NDC upgrade plan, now nuclear plants have been raised by 8.5% points, where renewable energy has been lowered by 8.6 percentage points. Mm. Now, in response, the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Energy said the use of nuclear power plants is reflected from the separate perspectives, such as energy security.
Okay, that's the latest on that front. With that, we move on to our final keyword of the day.
Forced labor compensation.
So yesterday, an important press conference between the Korean and Japanese government on improving the bilateral relationship between the two countries took place. And the topic that gained a lot of attention was the victims of forced labor and compensation. It's always been a touchy subject. It's the reason why we have this continued strained relationship, how we, record history. Can you tell us more what came out of this meeting?
Yeah, so the Japanese government said on the 12th in a press conference that it will closely communicate with the Korean government to restore and further develop Korea-Japan relations. Now, in November 2022, at the Korea-Japan summit, the two leaders agreed to resume and mend pending issues between Korea and Japan, they said, as quickly as possible. So the South Korean government said in a public debate at the National Assembly building that it is possible for victims of forced labor to receive a ruling from a third party instead of a Japanese company. And the government plans to come up with a final solution to compensate their forced labor soon. Mm. Now, the director of the Asia Pacific Bureau of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Seo Min-jung, told the media it has been renewed that the third party can be reimbursed instead of the defendant's Japanese company In other words, there is no problem with our victims receiving the judgment money from a third party. Now, the Compulsory Mobilization Support Foundation receives donations from Korean and Japanese companies and pays compensation to victims with that money. However, demands for the Japanese government to apologize for the participation of war criminal companies has still not been fulfilled. So some victim support groups declared their absence from the press conference, but there were some there who attended, and they definitely raised their voices in anger and protested and needing that apology. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs said that the announcement introduced today is not the government's final plan, and that it will come up with a solution with a sense of speed and responsibility by reflecting the opinions gathered so far.
Okay, it seems from the very beginning what the victims wanted was crystal clear, and not just compensation, but an apology from those who committed the war crimes in the first place. Now, is there a middle ground? Unfortunately, there hasn't been for years on end. So the tug of war continues, but we just had to highlight the latest efforts. Thank you very much, Walter, for, again, filling in this odd hour.
Not a problem. Lovely to see you today.
All right, see you soon.
See you soon.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.